Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is Thursday, November 7th. That means it is actually our first Hoops HD report of the season. I guess our only Thursday night Hoops HD report we do all season.
But this is a special
report we have. We're a few games into the season here. We're not really going to go over much of what's happened. We'll handle that Monday night when we do our regular Hoops HD report. This is our multi-team event, exempt tournament, in-season tournament, madness show, whatever we're calling it, our November madness show. Griggs, what the heck are we calling the show?
Well, they used to be exempt tournaments, then they became multi-team events, and then they became in-season tournaments. And it just sort of fluctuates throughout the day. Like in the mornings, they're called MTEs, but in the evenings, when we're recording this, you have to refer to them as in-season tournaments. I don't understand the NCAA rules.
I'm your host, Chad Schwartz. That's David Griggs over there. John Tytel up here. John Slica, David Dorman.
And hours are spent every summer to determine what these things are going to be called.
If you look up top of the website, there's a tab up there that says in-season tournaments. And if you want to follow along and not watch us, instead look at another computer screen while you listen to us, that's where you want to go, because we are going to be going through every single one of those events that is up there. But Griggs, before we even get to that, you know the rules about these multi-team events and all. These are not all the multi-team events. There are a lot of round-robin events as well. These are just the bracketed events.
These are the bracketed events. So if you're in a multi-team event, which is now as simple as three teams that agree to schedule each other within, I think it's 5 days or 12 days or whatever it is, that can classify as a multi-team event. What it does is that it allows you 31 regular season games as opposed to the 29. And it's as simple as that. It used to be some tournaments were two games, three games, four games. Where if you're in a multi-team event, whether you're playing four games or just two, you can have 31 total games.
Well, three is the maximum these days. It can't be four anymore.
Oh yeah, you're right. It can't be four anymore. You said I knew all the rules. I do, but I had forgotten that. They change every year. If you don't like the rules this year, next year they'll be slightly different and they'll be called something else.
As we said, some of them are just round robin events. Some of them at campus sites, some at neutral court sites. We're not covering those in this show. Those are regular season games. We'll cover them as a regular season game. We are only covering the things that are bracketed because we love brackets, right?
Right.
How can you be a college basketball fan and not love brackets? So on that note, I guess I'm going to pull these up here and we're going to go through each of them and kind of like take a look. They're going to be starting next week and they're going to be going all the way. Well, the last one is going to be the Diamond Head at Christmas, and we'll get all the way there by the end of the show.
People already getting excited for the Diamond Head. They've got their lights up. I'm starting to see it all over town.
The very first multi-team event, bracketed multi-team event, and this is an exciting one.
What?
Mr. Stalik, I got to go to you for this one.
Not with a happy weight event.
The brand new event here, the Greenbrier Tip-Off River Division Games between UTRGV Charleston Southern and VMI Tennessee Tech. Go ahead, Salika, tell us all about this one.
Well, typically Greenbrier, they have an event on the PGA Tour, then the LIV Tour, but now they've expanded into college basketball. So the River Division, these are going to be four under-the-radar teams right here where you get UT Rio Grande Valley, Charleston Southern, VMI, and Tennessee Tech. We got a sneak preview of Rio Grande Valley last night, giving up 49 points to Ryan Kalkbrenner for Creighton. Probably not a team I'll be picking in this event.
Chad, yes. I please tell me that is the correct spelling and not a typo. Pass the ball live.
That is the correct spelling. It's thaballlive.com. It is a pay-per-view event on that website. I would highly recommend that you do not buy it, okay? Do not waste your money.
Have we been credentialed for that? That's the ball. If they gave us access to that and are watching this, they're about to cancel it.
Dorman, give me a pick to win this event here so we can move on and get to a real event real quick.
Charleston Southern.
There is another division of the Greenbrier with real teams in it. It's actually a week later, so we're going to come back to it in a few minutes. But that's it for these games. Let's go to the Myrtle Beach Invitational. Tytel, let me bring you in here. Slightly better field. Not great, but I know it's got Princeton in there, who is a team you love. So I'll throw this over to you.
the Tigers to go all the way, you are wrong. Although the Ivy League is looking very good so far this week, some of us are. My pick is Bradley. I think it's a wide open field though, so nothing would surprise me. But I think that they have the best shot, so I'm going to say Bradley, and I hope they beat Princeton along the way, of course.
Yeah, Dorman, let me go back to here. How about the South Florida st story here as well? This could be, some, one of those things that maybe they pick up a win playing for Amir Abdul-Rahim.
Yes, their coach Amir Abdul-Rahim passed just a few days before the season started. They opened up Monday night, I believe it was, in Jacksonville playing the Florida Gators, and really was they played really well. I thought they showed a lot of heart. They showed a lot of fight. They were really in the game for about 32, 33 minutes. The Gators had too much size and talent down the stretch, but South Florida showed me a lot. I can't imagine their how heavy their hearts are and what the season is going to mean to them. So it'll be a great story. I think they're better in Portland. So yeah, I agree, Chad. They'll win a game or two here.
Yeah, this isn't for another well, I guess about a week and a half. I will say this, it's not big on brand names, Chad, but I like these are teams that we all liked, that we all talked about during the preseason show. We like Ohio U to win the MAC and make some noise, although they kind of got off to a disappointing start in their opener. South Florida, who we just talked about, Bradley, we really like, and Princeton, we really like, although Princeton had to sweat out their opener. So this is a chance for some of those teams that are not in the spotlight yet, but who we all seem to think could have big years. If the chalk holds, that could be kind of a fun semifinal and final.
I agree, and almost this entire event on national TV too. You don't have to go to streaming. You don't have to go to
Pass
passtheballlive.com on
the
the
ball.
TV. Another event here, Sleek. Let me go back to you here. The Charleston Classic. This is a annual event, and this is a pretty good event with Miami. That's Miami of Florida, by the way. Drake, Oklahoma State, Florida Atlantic, Seton Hall, VCU, Vandy, and Nevada in it.
Well, if you're looking at teams like Drake and Florida Atlantic, this would have probably had a lot more intrigue last year, but their coaches have moved on to different places right here. If I had to look at the way this field is shaping here, I'd probably say Miami and VCU probably looking like they're
Yeah.
going to be the favorites to advance right here. Vandy could be a bit of a dark horse right here. If you ask me to make a pick to win this field, I'm going to say the VCU Rams.
Yeah, I
That's
actually look. I was gonna say I like that pick, although I kind of think Nevada might be more of the dark horse here.
Yes.
Yes.
Watch out for Alford.
Yeah, go ahead, Dorman. You want to talk about him?
No, I'm right with you. I think Steve Alford's got a solid team out of the Mountain West. Nevada could win some games in this tournament, win it all if they're on.
The next event
You know
here.
who's missing
Go
from
ahead.
this event?
Who's
College
missing
of
from the
Charleston.
Yes, they are. Wait, let's go back an event. Where's Coastal Carolina in the Myrtle Beach Invitational?
Well, they're not always in it, are they? Or are they? Charleston's almost always in the.
I think they're only in once in a while, actually. But anyhow,
Well, they
Tytel,
can
here.
only be in there like once every 4 years.
Oh, that's right. Another rule. Yeah, you can't. Okay. Except for.
How about a good event here, Tytel? The Legends Classic. Syracuse, Texas, Texas Tech, St. Joe's, at least some name brands, and probably one really good team in here.
I know that some people in the panel are not high on the Longhorns, but they're very high on the Red Raiders despite losing Pop Isaacs to Creighton. I think that Texas Tech should win this. I think they'll win it over Texas, but I'm telling you, like, I know Texas lost like their whole team, but I'm sure they brought in some new guys, so I wouldn't count them out just yet.
Either.
And we got a great shot here also, Dorman, for a Texas Tech game, probably in the championship, maybe the third place game even, but now that they're no longer in the same conference together, here we go. We get a chance to see them real early this season, perhaps.
Yeah, it'll be a huge rivalry. Like you said, if they both either win or lose in Brooklyn, and there's a lot of bad blood. They separated conferences. They think they're Texas thinks they're better than Texas Tech. Texas Tech would love to play Big Brother. That would be a great game.
Yeah. Oh, they were such palsies when Chris Beard went to Texas. Just such, you know. I mean, it was heartwarming to see how well Texas Tech wished him, and then how they welcomed him back when he came back for that game.
Griggs, The Bahamas Classic. This is one of the events I think we need to circle here, actually. Baylor, St. John's, Tennessee, and Virginia.
Yes. Baylor St. John's is a really intriguing game because it's two teams that are loaded with talent, but talent that isn't quite used to playing together yet. And I think they're still working out some kinks. I don't know if you happened to catch it the other night. Baylor, a top 10 team coming into the preseason, had a little trouble with a Gonzaga team that had returned the core of its base previously. I don't think that they're going. I think that they're certainly going to be better by the end of the year. Scott Drew has a tendency to develop talent throughout the season and do it quickly, but they're going to be tested by Rick Pitino's St. John's team. I'm not big on Virginia this year, but
No.
I am really big on Tennessee, and I think that this is an exciting championship game, assuming Tennessee gets by Virginia. And again, it's a chance, and even the Johnnies, who we haven't talked about much, this is a chance for them to get some early scalps.
And I want those out here, Tytel. If Baylor is struggling early, and it wasn't just that Gonzaga was that good, Tennessee has a chance to win this event and pick up a win over Baylor. Maybe that will could look really good at the resume at the end of the day, even though they may do it against a Baylor team that's not quite ready. So as a bracketologist, this might be one of those interesting games even.
Yep, plenty of tier one teams here. Certainly, Baylor losing to Gonzaga by 100 didn't help, but it was the first game of the season, and the Zags are that good.
And Greg,
Exactly.
if you could just remind everybody, when the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee at the end of the year does review games here, do they give extra credit if it was the championship game versus the third place game or the seventh place game?
I'm glad you asked that question, Chad. They do not. A third place game counts the same. Is there? There's nothing on the team sheet or in any part of the evaluation that takes any consideration at all whether it was a fifth place, third place championship game. It all just counts. It would be the same as if they were playing on a neutral floor one off.
Exactly. So if you do lose that first game in your Baylor, you and maybe Tennessee loses also, you still get that Baylor Tennessee game, which would be a great
Right.
scalp for either team, even if it's in the third place side.
Yeah, for sure.
Dorman, the Boardwalk Battle, the new event down here in Daytona Beach. There's a couple events down there with James Madison, Illinois Chicago, LaSalle, UC San Diego, who almost picked off a big upset last night. East Carolina, Toledo, Stetson, Jack State.
Got some solid under the radar schools here in a bunch of our favorite conferences. This is an open tournament in my mind. There are a group of different teams I think can win, really up for grabs. I don't think Illinois Chicago is one of them. I think James Madison is probably one of the best ones.
Yes.
I will pick James Madison to win, but this is wide open besides UIC.
Well,
You think so?
Stalica,
Go ahead.
I was going to ask Stalica, but UC San Diego gave San Diego State a heck of a battle last night. It's could this team, I know they're going cross country for the event, maybe they pull off a surprise or two.
Well, this is also the second year in a row that UC San Diego's been competitive with their cross city rival. That may be more of a different matchup that they're familiar with. Not so sure they're going to be familiar with the likes of LaSalle, Illinois Chicago, James Madison, but I think it's Preston Spradlin who moved on from Moorhead to James Madison. So, coaching wise, I could probably see the Dukes not missing much of a beat from last year.
And James Madison did, I thought, have a really impressive win their opening night against Ohio. They were at home, but Ohio U, a pretty good team, and they beat them. I don't want to say they blew them out, but they didn't really sweat them out either. And I again, you can only total so much after one game. No one else, I thought, in their opener, other than maybe UC San Diego the other night, really jumped off the page. I think this is James Madison's event to win.
Well, Greg, let's not overlook Toledo down there in the bottom of the bracket. Kind of my rule with all the Mid-American Conference teams, if you're an Ohio team, watch out for the team this year. If you're not from Ohio in the MAC, forget you. This was a that was right from our under the radar preseason show. So Toledo is an Ohio team in the MAC. They could be dangerous in this event as well. I don't think they'll have any problem with Stetson, who almost lost to a non-D1 school in their opener. They struggled
Right,
bad.
Stetson is. Oh. Oh.
Let's go back to the Greenbrier again. I told you we get a little better bat group here of
Not
second
by
week of the
much. Well, yeah, quite a
Greenbrier.
bit.
Oh, Tytel, Pitt, LSU, Wisconsin, and UCF.
I think I'm going with Pitt's Coach Capel ACC team. I certainly would not discount Wisconsin because even though they lost a lot of guys, they bring back the big man Stephen Crowell, and Coach Gard can coach. I just think that they're also going to have a decent amount of fans in the crowd. I know that Pitt and West Virginia are not too far away from each other, so I think that there will be some blue and gold in the crowd.
Well, what about UCF though, Griggs?
Yeah,
You know,
let's talk about them.
they just came off that real nice home win. It was home, so I know for your book it doesn't count, but they beat Texas A&M on opening day.
Yeah, it doesn't count, but it counts. UCF, it again, you got to underline it wasn't home. It was the first night of the season, but it was against the Texas A&M team that we were all very high on. And I think I may have even been a little bit higher on than the rest of you. So I was really impressed with UCF, a team that I had a lot of questions about and didn't know if they had much of anything. I've really got my eye on them now. I don't think Wisconsin is as good as Texas A&M. I don't think anybody in this event is. So what about UCF? I mean, are they one of those teams, and we see several of these every year, that get no votes, no preseason recognition, just kind of start out way, way, way behind the curtain. And then by after Thanksgiving, all of a sudden, oh my God, where did they come from? I think they might be. They're good.
And the good news to them, Ty, tells us, so they're going to have a very easy conference schedule once we get to January,
Sure, but I mean, they were
Very,
also
I'm gonna blow through.
go right through that easy Big 12, no big
Yeah.
deal.
Go
They also
ahead.
shot 31% against A&M, and they were trailing by double digits with 6 minutes left. So, like, it's a great win, but like, it should have been a loss.
Fair enough. Stalika, the Paradise Jam, Longwood, UAB, Illinois State, McNeese, coming off of that loss on opening day, Louisiana, Liberty, George Washington, and oh, by the way, a Big 12 team, Kansas State, with all these under the radar schools.
Well, we had high hopes for UAB and McNeese going into this event. Of course, they both lost a pair of games to open the season. McNeese losing in a quasi-road environment to South Dakota State. Not terribly surprising, but obviously not good for their chances. UAB losing at home to Vermont. I would not be bullish on the Blazers in this event right here. My guess is McNeese and Liberty probably end up facing in the championship game, but I still think Will Wade's McNeese team probably ends up winning the Paradise Jam.
Yeah, Dorman, do you agree with him? I kind of agree. I kind of do, but.
I do too. I think the first game in South Dakota was a wake-up call. McNeese State, maybe they were reading the press clippings all summer, all fall, saying how good they were. But now they got to get to work because they don't have a lot of room for error if they want to be in the at-large discussion come March. They got to put wins together, and this would be the perfect start if they could rattle off 3 wins here. Greg said, it doesn't show a champion here, but 3 wins in this Paradise Jam would go a long way for their resume.
I agree. How far will it go? And this is probably a Tytel and well, Dorm. Well, everybody here does bracketology, but none as good as Tytel. Are there any wins to be had in this tournament by McNeese that would sort of elevate them inside the bubble? Or are these all just sort of, they better not lose another one the rest of the way?
Answer is yes. The question is, why does everybody think Kansas State is going to be in like the basement of the Big 12? I know the Big 12 is good. So is Kansas State.
I agree with you. If they can get Kansas State in the championship game, even if Kansas State does struggle in the Big 12, that's at least a big name they pick up in this event. And it's the only big name you can pick up in this event. Griggs, over in the Cayman Islands, we have Hampton, Boise, an intriguing Boise State team, South Dakota State off of that win over McNeese, Missouri State, High Point, ODU, and Boston College. Duquesne in there too. I'm sorry, I missed them.
Okay, just kind of unpacking everything here. South Dakota State was not a team I was big on coming in, but I was huge on McNeese, and South Dakota State just beat them, albeit it wasn't a home game, but it was probably a crowd that favored South Dakota State if you watched it. But they looked really good. Last year, I thought they were going to be really good, and they weren't bad at all, but they were still kind of disappointing. This year, a really nice win. Duquesne, a nice season last year. Too bad nothing's back. I think it's kind of South Dakota State and Boise State, who I think could be an NCAA tournament team, a really good team out of the Mountain West, are the only ones that kind of jump off the page to me at all. Is there
Wait, wait a second.
Well, oh, High Point, High
Thank
Point,
you.
yeah.
We've got
High
what I thought
Point.
was one of the best under the radar teams in the nation in the bottom half of that bracket there.
And and like I said, Boise State, South Dakota State, and High Point are
Well,
three teams. We need to go back and edit that.
let me tell real quick. Again, we have one power conference team in here, Boston College. Could this be an event that they actually win and maybe make a little bit of November noise?
Good, but I'm big on Boise. They destroyed by doubling up an Oakland team that not only made the tournament last year, but beat Kentucky, as we all recall well. I think Boise's going to not cakewalk this tournament, but I do not think BC is going to beat Boise in the title game, if that's what you're asking.
Okay.
Well, I don't think BC is going to beat High Point in the semifinals if it comes down to that.
I think
Not
that's
sure they're going to beat Old Dominion in the
We'll
first
see.
round.
I think BC may have a little more life than that, not much, but again, they are a power conference team, and so this is one of those events where you can really see the difference between some of these schools, especially playing on a neutral court as opposed to being all these games played at a home court of the power conference school. Dorman, let's go to one of the marquee events every single year, the Maui
Oh,
Invitational. This is not,
wow.
now let's get to some real teams. Memphis, UConn, Colorado, Michigan State, Auburn, Iowa State, Dayton, and North Carolina.
Auburn, Iowa State in the first game.
First
Of
game,
all
Auburn, Iowa State. Look at that.
these games are outrageous. All 12 of these games played out in Maui will be awesome, no matter how the bracket breaks. One team I think that's going to be in trouble here is Tad Boyle's Colorado Buffaloes. They just lost too much talent for me to be able to for them to be able to compete in this side in this tournament. But the rest of it is really up for grabs. I think there is crazy. I think Auburn can win the SEC. I got Iowa State at top of the Big 12. Dayton, people always forget about Dayton. Dayton is really, really good. People remember they went out to the Maui that one year that the tournament got canceled and had an incredible week in Maui. I believe they lost to Kansas like in
Yeah, like
overtime in the
it
final or
was it
something.
two overtimes or three
So
overtime?
it
It
was
was,
an incredible game. They were
yeah.
on pace for a one seed. So Dayton and Carolina, those two teams both are great. We all know about UConn. I think Memphis is in trouble against UConn. I just think there's too much power. But this tournament is absolutely great.
Yeah, Tytel, other than Colorado, I think there's an argument to be made for the other seven teams that they could win their conferences this season.
Certainly, as yours truly picked War Eagle to go all the way, I will have to pick War Eagle to win this one. And as far as their opening rounder against Iowa State, the puppet is correct that that is an amazing first round game, but it is not the best first round game ever. If we turn the clock back one year to last year, Purdue against Gonzaga on November 20th, 2023, in the opening round, Purdue won by 10 and almost was able to use that to springboard to a national championship until running into the UConn Huskies, who are also in this tournament. So it's a great first rounder, not the best ever. When you look at,
Okay, go ahead, Griggs, and then.
well, I was just going to say, when you look at a team like Memphis in particular, but also Dayton a little bit, they're not going to have later on in conference play as many opportunities at marquee wins as Connecticut, Michigan State, the rest of them. Yet, so this is a great opportunity for them. Yet it's very, very possible that Dayton's only win will come against Colorado in the seventh place game. I mean, this is a stiff field.
Sleek, you want to give your pick also this event? Yeah, this could be given how significant of an event this is.
My guess is we'll probably see UConn and I will say Auburn advancing to the championship game here. I would pick UConn to end up winning the whole thing.
I'm taking the Tar Heels to win this one. Maybe give the ACC something here, especially when they get into conference play and they will not be having the quality of opponents that some of these other leagues have. And just a real quick note, you will see here Colorado and Iowa State now both in the same conference. Griggs, in the past, the rule had been you can't have two teams from the same conference. In these
Yes.
eight team events, it is now permitted as long as they are on opposite sides of the bracket, with the only chance for them to play each other being in that final round. I wouldn't say the championship game, but the final round of games.
Yes, they're trying to come up with more and more ways to open these events up to more and more teams, and by more and more teams, I mean the Power Five or
Of
the
course.
Power Four.
Salika, let me jump back over to you here because here's a powerful event. The Ocean Bracket of the Sunshine Slam in Daytona Beach. And I'm pretty certain that Rocco Miller will be here for this event. And I'm not joking on that one. Radford, Chicago State, Drexel, and Fort Wayne.
Well, it's nice to see Chicago State actually in one of these events right here. Purdue, Fort Wayne, probably the team that's going to be picked highest in their respective conference. I will take the Mastodons to win this event right here.
I think that's all we need to say about the ocean bracket. There isn't even any specific TV even or streaming announced for this yet. There probably will be something, but
I'm going with Chicago
okay.
State just because I like them.
Dorman, how about the more serious bracket here? Penn State, Fordham, Clemson, and San Francisco. Not great, but decent.
Yeah,
More
decent.
serious.
The
I think
more.
San Francisco, as Rock was told, is going to have a nice year in the West Coast Conference. That's San Francisco I'm speaking of. I think Penn State has a better year this year than last year. I think they got some talent coming in. But my pick here is Clemson. I think they're big. I think they're talented. They're well coached with Brunell. And I think they're the strongest team in this field. I look for the Tigers to win two games.
I think I agree with you there. Here we go. You go to FSWBucks.com. That is the host school. It's a non-D1 school for the Fort Myers Tip-Off Palm Division. Tytel, Miami, Ohio, Siena, Jacksonville, and Mercer. Come on.
Must I pick one of these teams? Oh my Lord. I will go with Jacksonville because I assume that is Jacksonville in Florida. So with the short
Yes.
commute, I'm going to give them the edge for the fans and commuting ease.
Interesting.
Slika, did he just break the rule about Mac Ohio
Yes.
schools?
Yes, he did.
I will say Jacksonville is in the same state. Now, granted, they're going to be about 300 miles away. That's still going to be a lot closer than these other schools right here. But if you think I'm picking a team where Travis Steele is coaching, not going to happen.
Oof,
I'm going to
still
say
better.
yes. Siena is
Oof.
probably.
Oof.
Siena will be my pick to win this
Yeah,
event.
Jerry McNamara, Siena Saints.
Yeah, Jerry McNamara in his first year there at Siena. Good point. Sleek, I know you actually had thoughts on the Fort Myers bracket. I assume it was on the Beach Division, though, with Michigan, Vatek, South Carolina, and your Xavier Musketeers.
Well, I had a chance to see the new and improved Xavier team up close and personal. I think they're good enough to win one game right here. Michigan
They were
probably
barely good
gonna.
enough to win one game the other night. I mean, they had to come from
Michigan's
behind
probably
against
gonna.
Texas Southern.
Michigan is gonna have the better inside outside combo right here, especially with Vlad Golden in the post. I'm gonna say the Wolverines will be my pick to win this event.
Oh, really? You think Michigan over Xavier in the finals?
Yep, Xavier does not have a post player that's going to match up with Golden at all.
South Carolina grades was a heck of a story last year, but
Yeah,
I
they
don't think they have
were.
anything this year.
They don't appear to. But yeah, a great story last year. One of those teams that, again, no preseason or early season fanfare, and then had a huge year.
Dorman, here we go. How about Southeastern Louisiana versus Gardner-Webb and Bethune-Cookman versus North Dakota in the Mayan
Okay,
Division of the
wait, stop,
Cancun
stop,
Challenge?
stop,
What?
stop. If you go to Cancun and you've got the bars, you've got the beaches, and you opt to go to this event instead, and Flo Hoops is there. All right.
Imagine having to be one of the producers for Flo Hoops for this game. I mean, gosh.
I'm picking Gardner Webb to win it all. Two games in the Mayan Division in Cancun.
That's enough on that. Tytel, how about a slightly more interesting Wyoming, Tulane, Loyola Marymount, and Belmont in the Riviera Division down there?
So originally, I was going to go with Wyoming based on the fact that the Mountain West had so many teams make the postseason last year. But upon reflection, I think I'm going with LMU this year. Belmont, I don't think, is going to be as good as they have been in the past. And I think Wyoming is not going to be, even if they're average for the Mountain West, it's still going to be average for the West Coast as well. So I think LMU.
I think that's a good pick. Griggs, let me start with you, but I'm going to go to everybody on this next event because this is one of the big new events here. Not a true bracket, but it's since it's, since the championship round is not set in stone yet, we'll throw it up here. That is the brand new Player Era Thanksgiving Festival in Las Vegas, where we've got two groups, the Power and the Impact groups, four teams each, which kind of play a not a full round robin, but they play two games and then the two first place teams, the two second place teams, etc., play each other in the championship game from these groups. So we got Creighton, Oregon, San Diego State, A&M in one group, Alabama, Houston, Notre Dame, and Rutgers in the other group. Should be a heck of an event. And there's some great games in those round robin games you see there on the left.
And because brackets were so confusing and hard to understand, so they had to come up with whatever the hell this is. San Diego State, we mentioned, struggled the other night. Creighton kind of sweated out UT RGV. These are teams that we think are going to certainly get better the more they play and have big years. But I just like Creighton a lot. I do think Texas A&M is going to, I'm still big on them, even though they lost down at UCF. And I think they can do very well in this event. I don't want to say they're going to win it because Alabama is also there, as is Houston. But I think the one thing that jumps out at me, and again, it's sort of like that game in the Maui where the two best teams probably are playing each other in the opening round, and that's that Houston Alabama game. That's just an amazingly good game. Two, where they're probably going to be ranked in the top four even by the time they end up playing.
Yeah, Tytel, maybe this game, this Houston Alabama to start an event, maybe even better than that Purdue Gonzaga game last year.
It could be, yes, that's fair. And just to clarify, Chad, so the championship game on the 30th, is that the best team from the power group against the best team from the impact group?
Correct. And obviously,
How are they breaking ties?
there's a good chance there'll definitely be ties here, and I have no idea what the tiebreaker system
Okay.
is. I think they may
I
be
couldn't
picking them
find
out of
them
a
either.
hat. So I
Yeah,
couldn't find them either.
I love the teams that are in this event. I don't like it. This is just a desperate attempt to do something other than a bracket. When in reality they should have just bracketed them.
Probably. Let's go through real quick all four of you. Could be a quick pick to who would end up being in that winning that 9:30 p.m. game on Saturday night there. Dorman.
Creighton over Houston.
Crane over
Ooh,
Houston.
wow.
Salika.
I'm gonna say Alabama over Creighton.
Alabama over Creighton. All right, Tytel.
I'm going to humor Chad. If Ace Bailey is healthy, I'm going with Rutgers over the
Whoa.
Ducks.
Oh, I'm
Ooh.
not going that far. I do like the Ducks pick, actually. I was going to go Alabama over the Ducks. Griggs, how about you?
I got Houston over A&M. I'm a
Okay.
believer in Uncle Buzz. He's going to get them right.
I'm a
Another good
believer in this.
rivalry.
I'm a believer in this Alabama team this year, but we'll see.
But not. But I mean, I'm a believer in them too. I just believe in Houston a little bit more.
We're up to Sleek. How about you? The Acrisure Holiday Invitational. This is one of four different events with the name Acrisure in it this year, so they're going to get very confusing. One of them is a round robin. The other three we're going to get to during the course of this show. The Acrisure Holiday Invitational, though, is SMU, California Baptist, Fresno State, and Washington State.
Well, this is going to be the undercard version right here. There is going to be more power teams in a separate Acrisure bracket right here. Although, if I had to take a look at something like this one, I'd probably say Washington State over SMU in this half.
I can't argue with that. I think these are more names than good teams this year,
Yeah.
honestly. But
Wazoo's Eastern Washington from a year ago. They're not bad.
Tytel. I know you want to talk a little Battle for Atlantis. This is one of the other premier events with Louisville, Indiana, West Virginia,
Woo-hoo.
Gonzaga, Oklahoma, Providence, Davidson, and Arizona.
I agree that Maui is better, but I think this is a solid 1A to Maui's 1. And so there's a couple of things I wanted to take note of here. Number one, we could have the Umar Ballo Invitational, as the now Indiana center could face Gonzaga, where he started his career on Thanksgiving, and then he could play Arizona, where he played the next 3 years of his career in the championship, which I think would be a fantastic story. Or we could also, as Chad mentioned, you're allowed to have multiple teams from the same conference in the same tournament. We could have the Mountaineers and my Wildcats meeting, hopefully not in the seventh place game, but rather in the championship game. And ironically, the one player who can talk about that rivalry the most is the guy who played for them both, Kerr Creasa, former Wildcat, former Mountaineer, now at Kentucky.
Louisville, Indiana. Most people don't realize they're only about 40. It's about an hour that separates. They're not far apart at all. And it seems like whenever they play, it's somewhere very, very far away from both campuses.
I'll tell you, I'm actually circling that game, Dorman. That Louisville, Indiana game, these are two teams that I have a lot of questions about this season, and I think they both have a chance to be really good or really bad.
I'm with you. I think they'll both be really good. Pat Kelsey is just a winner. He just builds winning programs. He is now the head coach at Louisville. I don't think the rebuild at Louisville is going to take that long. I look for Pat Kelsey to have these Cardinals in good shape, if not this year, real soon. But I think on the floor, you'll already see a much better product. And I think you'll see a good offense. They're going to work on defense. So look for Louisville to be a formidable opponent right out of the gates. This Indiana game will be tough right out of the gates. Gonzaga couldn't have looked better the other night. On the bottom, Providence didn't look great either the other night. We'll see what
No.
Oklahoma has.
Oh,
No. So I would love to see an Arizona Gonzaga championship, but all these games, whether it be on the left or the right side of this bracket, there's going to be some good basketball in the Bahamas here.
yeah, I think Arizona Gonzaga sort of almost walk into the final. Oklahoma's okay. Louisville and Indiana might be good, but
That
not like those two.
Gonzaga's semifinal against that Louisville, Indiana winner could be one to
Tough.
circle. But I think I agree also. It's Arizona Gonzaga is the game everyone wants when you look at this bracket also.
Yeah.
Or at least two out of the five people on this show definitely want that one. Stalika, the ESPN Events Invitational down to only a 4-team field this year, being played down in Kissimmee, Florida, with Minnesota, Wichita State, and Florida Wake Forest.
I think Florida and Wake Forest would have actually been a more intriguing championship game right here. Now, Wichita State is another team that's probably looking like they may show some signs of improvement going into this year. I do think Wake Forest probably going to be the team to beat in this event.
I do agree with you here. I think Wake Forest is, I think, the only team that we really projected as a tournament team preseason, even. They
Florida's
wait,
got some
Tytel?
things going, but
Yeah.
Yeah, Florida, I'm sorry. Yeah. Tytel, you're shaking your head, though.
Everybody's just giving up on the Gators. Their starting backcourt each scored 25 plus points on Monday. I mean, this team is loaded. They get to the free throw line, they make free throws. They were pretty bad from 3-point land. I would not sleep on the Gators.
All right, so let's circle that game. That game
That's a good game, yeah.
may
Great
determine the
game.
championship, even though it's in the first round. Also being played in Kissimmee at the same exact time. Those are the afternoon games. The evening games, it's the NIT season tip-off down to Florida this year. ESPN combining these two events kind of in the same location, with Utah State, St. Bonaventure, Northern Iowa, and North Texas. A thrilling field here, Griggs, for the NI for what was once the premier preseason tournament.
Yeah, Utah State's going to still be pretty good. I know that they lost virtually everything, but I think the program's strong enough to where they could make some noise this year. But the team I really like in this field is Northern Iowa. I think it's their event to win. North Texas, too much rebuilding. St. Bonaventure, they just don't look like they have much. I think it's Northern Iowa's event to win, and I'm not going to poo-poo them. I think Northern Iowa can make a lot of noise in the valley later on in the year.
In fact, I'm not certain why ESPN didn't make these the afternoon games and make the ESPN
Yeah.
events the evening games, because I think the other event is a better event when you look at the teams here. Then you normally see the better event teams in the evening, but it is what it is. Shame that we lost this once great tournament.
Yeah.
Dorman, over in out in Arizona, we have the Cactus Division of the Arizona Tip-Off with Butler, Northwestern, UNLV, and Mississippi State, and a couple interesting teams in here, at least one.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some intrigue here. We'll see what Butler has this year. Northwestern looked good opening night. Big win, so I'm not sure how good they are. But UNLV and their stud point guard, Mississippi State coach Jaren, will be defensive minded, tough to play against. I think these two games, I think this will be a solid tournament. I like Northwestern. I go with the Wildcats here.
Go Northwestern, huh?
Yeah.
Tytel, would you go Northwestern also, or would you go that SEC school?
I'm going that SEC school. They destroyed West Georgia in the first D1 game for West Georgia the other night. The way they did it impressed me. Josh Hubbard and Clyde Harris each made six threes. The entire West Georgia team made four. So unless you're going to go out and guard the 3-point line, I think Mississippi State is going to bomb you to death.
I've been big on Butler. I've been saying that they're undervalued and should be a lot better than what people are expecting. This event is a chance for them to prove me right. Come on, Butler.
Griggs, let me stick with you here. The Desert Division has Weber State against Bowling Green and Pepperdine against New Mexico State on
Pass
PassTheBallLive.com.
the ball
Actually,
live.
it's the top game there. It's THE apparently. I think that's the one that is a typo. But
Yeah, I guess
we'll get that fixed, folks. Don't worry.
it's hard to get too excited about any of these. New Mexico State was very recently a very successful program. They had a few minor off the court issues. We'll just leave it at that, and they're still trying to rebuild that. I honestly, not much excites me about Pepperdine or Weber either. I kind of like Bowling Green. I don't want to say that I like them. I just think that they're better than the other three.
Because they are an
Like
Ohio
state.
They are an Ohio,
MAC
Ohio,
school.
a MAC school from Ohio.
Sorry, Dorman, you had a thought on that too?
Greg said it all.
Yeah.
I'm with him. I would pick Bowling Green.
Where to go? Tytel, the Rady Children's Invitational. This is actually a pretty good event. Purdue, NC
Real
State,
good. Yeah.
BYU, and Ole Miss.
Very good event. Big time conference schools. Even without Zach Edey, I think this is Purdue's tournament to lose. Braden Smith had 15 assists in their opener. He's looking like the best point guard in the country. NC State 4, as are the other two, but I'm picking Purdue.
Picking Purdue. Salika, do you agree with him?
I think I'd probably pick Ole Miss as a dark horse here. We're always good for one or two surprises in one of these early season events.
Yeah, I like Ole Miss too.
Me too.
NC State, Purdue, two Final Four teams last year. If
Oh, well, let's not completely forget about BYU in this event,
Yeah,
also.
no, BYU's good. I kind of like I don't like any of these teams a lot, but I like all four of them a little bit. I think they're all pretty good. I think all four of them might be NCAA tournament teams. I like Ole Miss the most, but this is a good event. I'd go to this.
The second of three of the Acrisure events that we're going to handle today. Salika, how about the Acrisure Invitational, which is different than the Holiday Invitational? This is the Acrisure Regular Invitational, TCU, Santa Clara, Washington, and Colorado State.
Well, not a bad event for a true TV to pick up right here. I would probably say Colorado State TCU would be my picks to advance to the championship game. And if I had to pick one of the two, I'll say Colorado State, who's probably going to be near the head of the class in the Mountain West.
Yeah, is this a battle for a spot in the NIT in this event? Or maybe for four spots in the
Well,
NIT?
you mean a battle for a spot in the NIT that probably all three or four teams will probably say no to?
Well, maybe that too. The final of the Acrisure events, Dorman, is the Acrisure Classic, USC, St. Mary's, New Mexico, and Arizona State.
Some intriguing games here. We'll see what Arizona State has. They had a rough trip to Duke in a practice game where they got whopped last week before the season started. I like New Mexico in the Mountain West. I think they have a real strong, solid team. I think USC is in a down year, and I'm not sure what St. Mary's will have. They'll be top of the WCC, but I don't think this is a year they have any chance to contend with Gonzaga. Overall, in this classic tournament here, I'm going to pick the Lobos. I'm going New Mexico.
Well, Tytel, what about that? And how about this St. Mary's team? Are they good enough to win this event and make this be the type of thing they need if they want to have an at-large bid this year?
Not only is a California school going to win this, I don't know which one, but I can't guarantee it. I feel very strongly that the USC St. Mary's winner is going to cruise to victory on November 29th.
I like St. Mary's. I do not like Arizona State. And one of the things, what an intriguing third place game. You have a Big Ten school in USC and then a Big 12 school, Arizona State. It's kind of just a unique out of con like, inner power conference
It's been a
matchup that you
while
don't see very much.
since they've played each other too, hasn't
Yeah, it has. I mean, wow.
it?
Arizona State is atrocious. Oh, Lord.
Again, well, the other question is how much do we read into the exhibition loss to Duke? It was not a regular season loss, so
Not much, but Arizona State's really bad.
this event does not actually count as an exempt event, but it is since it is somewhat bracketed, similar to that Players Era Festival, the Big Five Classic. And Tytel, you have some Big Five ties. How about the Big Five Classic this year? It's a two round robins, Temple LaSalle, Drexel in one, St. Joe's, Penn and Villanova in the other, and then two first place, two second place, two third place teams battle each other. I remember where Villanova finished in this event last year.
I remember where Villanova finished last night, losing to an
That
IDP
too.
team at home by 10, double digits. That being said, I think Eric Dixon of Villanova is the best player in this Big Five Classic, and I think he will lead his team to victory. I think it was a big wake-up call for them last night. I understand that, like, this is not the Jay Wright Villanova era. This is a whole new thing with Coach Neptune, but I believe in the Wildcats.
Does Coach Neptune finish this tournament? He's still the coach
I got a question.
on the Sunday morning on December 8th. Is Kyle Neptune still at Nova?
If he finishes sixth place in the Big Five for the second straight year, is he coach on December 8th? Might be a very good question, actually.
I was so big on him when they hired him. Sometimes you're just not correct.
I'm not certain that I'm taking Nova. I don't know that. I'm tough, but
Oh,
maybe.
I'm.
Maybe it's St. Joe's this year in this event.
Yeah, I would think that's who I like. You all are the Philly guys, but isn't Joe's sort of? I mean, I think that they're pretty decent, and I think everybody else is just atrocious. Like, this is just a weak field.
My pick for the championship game alone would be Temple and St. Joe's, and you know which great moment we're going to have to relive. I believe the hawk is dead, except it's probably going to be the shoe on the other foot. I think it's Temple that's probably
Oh, you
on
like
their
Temple.
last legs.
I'll tell you,
No,
the
I
game
think
just.
St. Joe's wins it this
Yeah, I
year.
think Joe's wins this.
If Joe's going to win it, let's circle coming up next Tuesday night. That's when the round robin starts, and it is the Villanova St. Joe's game at 5 o'clock on coming up on the 12th here. That's the game to circle. If Joe's wins that game, and it is at Joe's,
Yeah,
I think they're in
the
the
Holy
championship
War.
game.
Can I ask our Philly contingent? I mean, no, it's still a rivalry. I know all of this is, but given the complete lack of, it not even being decent, let alone good, the last few years. What's the temperature of this event?
I
Because there was a
think
time
that,
where Philly burned as hot as any place.
yes, this is not selling out the Palestra or the Wells Fargo Center or Chad's backyard. I mean, this is like six meh teams. I get that. But you also have to remember that, like, it was such a big deal that Columbia beat Villanova. True. Would it be a big deal if Penn did? Sure. But Penn plays them every year and has for like a century. So, like, it's in the blood. It's your grandfather went to this game in the Palestra 50, 75 years ago. So it still means a lot, but for the younger generation, because the teams are not as good, it certainly doesn't mean as much as it does to the old timers.
Yeah. I miss Philly. I mean, I know it's still, I miss the round robin format of the Big Five. I thought that those were just incredible.
Yeah, I think this is not that bad. At least everyone does get at least three games against Big Five
Yeah.
competition, and they finally fully brought Drexel in as well. So, Dorman, also not technically an event, exempt event. It is coming up in December. We have the annual Sun Bowl Invitational, which I gotta say, this may be the, even though it's 400-rated schools, this may be the best Sun Bowl Invitational I remember in recent years because we have Akron, an Ohio MAC team, Yale, Jackson State, and a pretty good UTEP team in here.
Yeah, UTEP's supposed to have a decent year. Yale had a great year last year, but lost really some of their big talent. Wolf went to Michigan. He had a great night the other night. I'm going with UTEP. I'm going to go with the home team, right in the home crowd. Hopefully, they'll get some support here. I'm going with the Miners.
I think we just, I'm just not ignoring this tournament as much as I normally do because I
I
think Akron and
agree.
Yale are
Akron
solid
Yale
teams.
is a good game. I mean, that's actually, yeah.
Last but not least, all the way coming up here, end of December, going right into Christmas, Stalika, it's the Diamond Head Classic with Oregon State, Charleston, that's why they're not in the Charleston Classic, Loyola, Chicago, Oakland, Nebraska, Murray State, Charlotte, and of course the host Rainbow Warriors.
My guess is if you look at the top half of the field, I would probably take a Chris Mack's Charleston team to advance out of that half. And if I look towards the bottom, I'm probably going to say Nebraska would be the likely team to advance. And I would pick Charleston as my team to end up winning the whole thing.
I'm with Charleston. Titel, do you agree with him on Charleston's the best team in this event?
I want to because now that the CAA tourney has considered DC its home for the past few years, I've gotten to see the Cougars a lot, and there's a lot to like. I'm going Huskers though because they just have so much talent. Their bench is like a power conference team. They bring in Connor Asigian from Wisconsin, Gavin Griffiths from school in Piscataway. Like this team is loaded. Like not just a couple of good guys in the starting five. They have power conference subs.
Well, they're a
And
power
who
conference team. Everybody on the team is a
is
power conference player.
Would you like to remind us who Nebraska's coach is and who is not Nebraska's coach?
Well, I mean, the Big
Dorman,
Ten just hasn't been the same since they got rid of Tim Mott,
are
since
we
they got a
ignoring
nosedive.
Loyola? Are we ignoring maybe even a Murray State in this event
Yeah.
also? Who
I think
may have.
we're ignoring Loyola too much. I think the Ramblers have a solid team this year. Coach Valentine's very high on this team. Oakland's l lost everything they had last year in that tournament team. Coach Greg Campy's great, and he's an awesome coach, and all that, and that he's run an incredible program there at Oakland. But I see Loyola winning that game, and the game I think that will probably determine the champion might be this Charleston Loyola game in the semis. I do like the Ramblers to win this whole thing.
All right. That's it, guys. I'm gonna go ahead and pull this down here. If
Woohoo.
you want to check out any of those brackets again, just go to that in-season tournament tab. You'll see exactly what we just went through. They'll be updated as games go final, or at least once a day during these events. But what I want to do now is go through each of you for any other final thoughts you may have on anything we discussed tonight or anything else about college basketball you want to throw out there. Stalika, let me start with you.
I think the eight-team event in Las Vegas is going to be the most intriguing right here. Let's not forget a team like Creighton. They were initially slotted to be in the battle for Atlanta. So as soon as the Vegas tournament opened up for them, they withdrew from Atlantis. Providence took their place. And this is a team that, as I picked earlier, probably be in the championship game of that event. But I do think Alabama probably going to have too many pieces for the Blue Jays. That could also be the first of two meetings between those teams this year.
Could be. Titel.
So it's not often that my boys pull off the comeback of the week, but they did. So on Monday, I didn't get to watch it. I did my subscription to Pass the Ball Live has expired, but they were trailing NJIT on the road by 17 points with 13 minutes left, stormed back to win it 58-57, and just picked up another one tonight, 2-0, and we've already only been playing the sport for 4 days so far this season. Is it a blip on the radar? Yes. Are they favorites to win the Ivy League? Absolutely not. Would it shock me if they finished sixth in the Big Five Classic? Not at all. Can I enjoy this win? You better believe it, Chad.
As those Penn Quakers, Dorman, how about you?
Yeah, I really, as a fan and a lover of this sport of college basketball, I really hope these tournaments, most of them around the Thanksgiving holiday, don't go away. I think it's great for the sport.
Both
I
are
think
not.
it's their coming out party. I think it's a great way to kick off the year and to bring, a lot of the good. Even if the middle of the conference teams are playing in different conferences against each other in different parts of the country on neutral courts, I think it's great for the game. You see these big time matchups, you get these great tournaments. I hope they don't go away. I hope they expand a little because I think it's great for the sport.
Yeah, we are down about 10 or 12
Yeah.
bracketed events from last year. Now, a few of them are still around there. They just weren't able to get a full 18 field and end up going to the round robin format. The Gulf Coast Showcase, the Jacksonville Classic, a few names. Those events still exist. They're just being played as a round robin this year. Hopefully, they'll be back as bracketed events next year. Griggs, you want to finish the show off?
Yeah, with that, a lot, just about everyone participates in something that's technically a multi-team event. But as you said, there's fewer and fewer of the bracketed events or in-season tournaments. And to kind of piggyback off of what Dorman said, I just love them because it gives us two things. It gives us a lot of unique matchups and interesting matchups that otherwise wouldn't happen or that normally don't happen. I mean, as great as conference rivalries are, you see those every year. You don't really see a lot of the matchups you see in these tournaments, and you see them in very unique settings. You see them in ballrooms, and I love everything about it, the small sort of intimate venue. I thought it was great when the ceiling fell down at whatever hotel it was, and Tulane's like support staff had to wait in the hall, I think. I mean, there's just a lot of unique, fun things surrounding that. Remember the Junkanoo Jam? I want the Junkanoo Jam back. There was an air
That
duct.
is gone. Yes, that is
Yeah.
gone.
Anyway, it's just a lot of fun. But the second out of three things, we don't do a normal Hoops HD report in its format the first week, simply because while there's a lot of games, there's also mostly blah to cover what we would have covered. I think we got to it all anyway, indirectly. It was Gonzaga's win over Baylor, and did anything else happen? Yeah, Vermont had a nice win.
There was the Ohio Texas game, but
Yeah, that was yeah, and then UCF.
Ohio State, I'm sorry,
Yeah,
yes.
Ohio State with a nice win over Texas, and UCF had the nice win over A&M. So that's your 45-second regular Hoops HD report. My last thing, and it is an election week. It's very important that everybody watching this remembers to get out and vote. And the reason is because like we need to keep the game at halves and not quarters, and we need video replay of home.
All right, that's it, everybody. That's enough of Griggs. I want to take the chance to thank everybody for joining us. Again, check out all the content up there on the website. We have a conference tournament tab that's up and running. We have a team sheets that are up there. It's running. We have a brand new team that's up there in East Texas A&M. Congratulations. Welcome to D1. It's actually Texas A&M Commerce renamed themselves as of today. But we will be back next week, as he said, Monday night with a Hoops HD report, Wednesday night with an Under the Radar report. We'll be going forward like that the rest of the season. On behalf of John Tytel, David Griggs, John Sleek, and David Dorman, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.